The Pat Kenny Show.
With the Jaguar E-Pace. Beautiful by design and dynamic to drive. Delivering performance that is unmistakably Jaguar.
This is News Talk.
Following a vote on Wednesday, nearly 78% of Russian voters backed constitutional reforms that could keep President Vladimir Putin in power until 2036. A consolidation of power and a president for life, or just a PR exercise amid a health crisis? Well, to get some analysis of all of this, I'm joined by Moscow correspondent for BBC News, Steve Rosenberg. Steve, good morning and welcome.
Good morning to you, Pat.
Now, first of all, when you see overwhelming results like that from Russia, you ask yourself, how genuine could that be?
Yeah, I would be a little bit cautious about these official figures, the 77.92% of support that Vladimir Putin's constitutional amendments got. I mean, it's important to point out that this was not an official referendum. It didn't meet the legal requirements necessary to be a referendum. It was spread over 7 days, the votes. There were a lack of independent monitors, and there were widespread reports in the lead up to the vote of state employees being pressured into taking part in the vote to boost the turnout. So people like teachers and municipal workers and doctors. There was a huge information campaign in the lead up to the vote to encourage people to support the amendments, but the no campaign was basically banned. You couldn't campaign against the amendments. Plus, during the vote, there were lots of reports. In fact, there was video evidence of ballot box stuffing across the country. There were cases of people voting more than once. So this was the most, I would say, controversial and curious kind of vote in modern Russian history. No surprise that when the figures were announced, they were in favor of the Kremlin, in favor of these amendments. The key amendment, of course, being that after 2024, Vladimir Putin, who would have to step down under the current rules, can run again for office two more times, as you say, keeping him potentially in power until 2036.
He's saying this not necessarily so that he will run again, but of course it leaves the way open for him. Now, even if you are sceptical about the 77.9% approval of all of this, it's hardly likely that it would have been less than 50% anyway, because although we look at him askance sometimes, he is pretty popular at home.
Yeah, I mean, there are Russians, of course, who, like Vladimir Putin, who are attracted by his tough talking, by his anti-Western rhetoric. People who believe that he has lifted Russia up. You know, 20 years ago, the country was virtually on its knees. And there are many people who believe he's done a good job. But there are many more people who I would say are indifferent now to him and don't really care about the guy in the Kremlin. There are people who are increasingly angry with the authorities in Moscow. You know, it's a difficult time economically for everybody across the world, including Russia. The lockdown has pushed this country into a recession. People are losing their jobs and are starting to get angry with the authorities in Moscow. So that's one reason why Vladimir Putin was keen to push these changes through now, because who knows what the situation will be later in the year, whether there'll be a second wave of coronavirus, growing unemployment and growing unrest and discontent. So he was keen to get this through. But you have this very strange situation, Pat, because this vote, this all-Russia vote, as it was being called, was taking place in the middle of a pandemic. So if you went to the polling stations, as I did on Wednesday, they looked more like medical clinics. You know, all the election officials were dressed in protective suits, wearing masks and gloves. There was antiseptic soap at the entrance. Voters had to have their temperatures checked before they were allowed in. There was supposed to be social distancing in all the polling stations. And so you had to think, well, why on earth was this happening? Why did they need to do this during the pandemic? And I think that the answer is that Vladimir Putin was getting nervous. He wanted to make sure that this was done and dusted before the autumn.
Were there any significant variations in the published approval rating for these measures when you look across the breadth of Russia?
if you look at the official results, there was only one tiny region of Russia, a very remote region, which, according to the official results, voted against the amendments. Everyone else, according to the official results, voted for, including Moscow. And that is quite suspicious, because if you look at the unofficial polling that has been done here, the no vote actually had a much bigger share. So there is a lot of suspicion as regards the official vote. But the Kremlin is saying this is Putin's triumph, a triumph of democracy too. They point to the high turnout. They talk about record support for the authorities. No serious violations. That's what the government paper said today. And I've already talked about many reports of violations. So you have these two different Russias. You have the Russia being presented and painted by the Kremlin, which is a Russia which is fully behind the Kremlin and voting for these constitutional amendments and happy to have potentially two more terms of Vladimir Putin. And then you have another Russia, which is very different from the official version.
Does this resemble Donald Trump's America in a way, that you have people, more traditional Russians who like the strong man, and then you have the urbanites in Moscow, very much like the New Yorkers or the Californians, who take a more critical and thoughtful view of Vladimir Putin and what he's about? And is it important for the president of Russia to have the support of Moscow?
To a certain extent, yes. But of course, the big difference here in Russia is that the Kremlin controls the media to a huge extent. This is not, you know, having Fox News to support you. All the main federal TV channels are supportive of the Kremlin. And so from morning till night, they are pumping out positive news about Vladimir Putin. If you watch the main news review show at the end of the week on Sundays on Russian state television, it's basically the review of Putin's week. And everything is complimentary. And so when the TV is pumping this out morning till night, day after day, year after year, you know, the drip effect of that on many people, not on everybody, is to believe that the man at the top sitting in the Kremlin is doing a good job and is protecting your country from external threats, because that is something which the official propaganda is claiming, that Russia is a besieged fortress surrounded by threatening forces like NATO and America and the European Union. And so many people start to believe that. And in the absence of any other political figures who could be seen as rivals, who just simply don't appear on the state TV channels, they're perhaps there in the internet, but they don't appear on TV, and TV is the main source of information for people here. In the absence of all of that, then of course that makes it easier for Vladimir Putin to project an image that he is the father of the nation. However, if you look at the polling, opinion polls over the last 3 months or so, Putin's ratings have been falling quite fast because of the coronavirus pandemic, because of the economic effects of lockdown. And that has made the Kremlin very, very nervous. Vladimir Putin is someone who's over 20 years always managed to beat off any rival, any competitor, whether it's oligarchs or whether it's the political opposition. Suddenly he's been faced by this invisible enemy, the coronavirus. And for the first time in his political career, he hasn't really known what to do. So it's a very difficult situation for him. No one knows, as I say, how bad things are going to get here by the autumn. And that is why I think the Kremlin was keen to get these changes through now, to give Putin now a mandate from the people, as they present it, to extend his rule if he believes he wants to.
Now, finally, we should look at how the constitution of Russia has changed, in what direction it is going. Interesting, it refers to Russia's faith in God as handed down by their ancestors. So, you know, communism and all of that, Marxism, is out the window. So what are the key features of the new constitution?
Yeah, I mean, the important thing to say is that the main reason why this was being done was to extend Vladimir Putin's rule. But as you say, there are all these other changes, amendments, many of which were designed to boost a feeling of patriotism amongst the Russian people. So, for example, you mentioned God. There are references to Russian history. There are references to the Russian language, protecting the Russian language and Russian culture. There are also political amendments. From now on, Russia will make Russian law, give Russian law precedence over international law. That is a very controversial amendment. But as I say, all of these other amendments were really decoration to hide, if you like, the key change here, which is giving Putin the option of two more terms in power. The interesting thing is, when you went to the polling station, there were posters, big posters, listing all the amendments, huge wall of writing. And you would have to look very carefully to find buried in there this key amendment written in very bureaucratic language, which actually meant that the consequence of it was that you were giving Vladimir Putin potentially two extra terms. But it was hidden amongst all this other patriotic talk about making Russia stronger, making Russia greater, boosting the sovereignty, stressing how important family values are, that from now on marriage will be defined as a union of a man and a woman, all these things designed to press patriotic buttons, really, to get people to come out and vote for the whole packet. But what you were also getting was potentially more Putin.
On that note, Steve Rosenberg, Moscow correspondent for BBC News, thank you very much for joining us.